We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. It's the Marks and Reese Show, day after a tough loss to the Dolphins. And joining us as he does after every game is Eagle safety Malcolm Jenkins. What's up, Malcolm?
Not much. How you doing, guys?
Well, after that tough one yesterday, Malcolm, I think everybody in the Delaware Valley is feeling a little bit down, as I'm pretty sure most of you and your teammates are. That game yesterday didn't kind of go the way we expected it, man. You guys have been playing great on defense for the last month, and yesterday it seemed like that game started to get away from you guys defensively. Just what are some of the things you thought that you guys struggled with dealing with that Dolphins offense?
Well, I think, you know, in the first half, I thought we played really pretty well. They had two, you know, deep balls they threw up, and I thought they, you know, made great catches with, you know, it wasn't like we blew any coverage or anything. Guys, just, they made a couple plays, and they got us on, out of position on one wildcat, you know, situation. So we were, you know, even though the game was going back and forth, we felt like at least going into halftime that we just needed to eliminate a couple of those big plays, and we were fine. On the second half, it was just a few things, whether it be a couple key third downs when we could have got off the field. We had some penalties, a couple penalties to extend drives. And then they continued to make you know, make plays. And for us, we're just kind of, you know, on our heels trying to figure out how to adjust. And they had a good, you know, they had a good game. We look back at the film, it's not like, you know, early in the year we had a couple issues with busted coverages or miscommunications. It really wasn't any of that. Their guys made plays, and, you know, hats off to them.
Yeah, any discussion on the sideline? You talked about adjustments. Any discussions about possibly, I guess, giving those guys help on the outside, whether you're doubling or just sending guys over the top?
Yeah, we made those adjustments. We moved to the man and zone. But, you know, we also, you know, felt like I said, it wasn't like the guys were just – you know, or at least early in the game, didn't feel like they couldn't handle them. It's like the guy made a couple plays. And then obviously as the game went on, we realized that, you know, that we need to make an adjustment there. But, you know, they still were able to make plays in other places.
Yeah, you played that position early in your career, Malcolm. And just talking to fans, they want to know, getting the mind of a defensive back in when a guy may be struggling a little bit, or when you feel like you're right there in position coverage-wise, and that guy's able to go up and make a play, even with you being there. Take us in the mind of a cornerback and how you have to sort of be able to, I guess, have a short-term memory, overcome that type of stuff, even though you know that guy over there is making plays against you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's part of that position. You're always on the island. Everybody sees it. You know, we talk about it all the time. If a D-lineman, you know, gets out of his gap and that one week for 100 yards, they're not talking about the D-lineman that got out of the gap. They're talking about the safety that missed a tackle. The same thing, you know, outside with a corner. Everybody sees it. But, you know, when you do everything right, you do well at the line of scrimmage, you're right in the hip pocket, you go up, you play the ball like you're supposed to, and, you know, a guy makes a play. At the end of the day, they get paid just like you do. And so you're not going to make all of them the kids. How can you stand up and, you know, continue to fight, continue to battle, not let any of those plays, you know, affect your technique, affect what you think about yourself.
Malcolm, you guys had early success at a couple quick sacks. What adjustments did they make? It looked like Fitzpatrick was getting the ball out of his hand early. Did they go to max protect? What did they do? Because really from then on, they had success.
Yeah, they started to get rid of the ball a little bit quicker. They went to some empty sets. And then when they wanted to take the shots, they did get into some protection looks. So they did what they can to get them some time, but, you know, you look at the film, we still were, you know, maybe one step, you know, away from him. He took a lot of hits, but was able to still deliver the ball. So, you know, they made, you know, some adjustments from what we were doing, obviously, early in the game.
Malcolm, Doug, your coach Doug Peterson said this morning that the Dolphins played harder and they wanted it more than he used the word we did. Do you agree with that assessment that they did play harder and they wanted it more?
I wouldn't agree with that. No, I mean, as a guy, really on as a team and what you know why we want what we do. I think we wanted it, you know, plenty. We knew it was on the line. I think we ran into a team that gave us their best shot, and we didn't play our best. And when you do that, it really doesn't matter who you line up against, you can lose. And so, you know, I think this team still wants, you know, everything we got. There's never been an issue for me. You know, our desire, our passion for the game has never been something I've questioned about this team, and I won't start that now.
What now? I mean, I guess that's the question that fans have. We're not going to talk much about it today, but with the Cowboys losing on Thursday, you guys are still very much in the playoff picture if you just do what you can do and win games. But what now? What's the message going forward?
What now is we got a Monday night game against the Giants, and we cannot afford, you know, to look any further than that. That's the only that matters right now. And so for us, it's about getting back to work as soon as possible, diving into this film, going through our routine that we normally do to prepare for games, and go ready to compete against a division opponent.
I guess one last one for me, Malcolm. The trick play yesterday, I know it wasn't necessarily the defense out there, it was really the special teams that was out there, field goal block, but it certainly had a lot of the defensive guys out there. Past couple weeks, teams have been able to run sort of these trick plays and have success against you all. What do you think has been sort of the issue there that teams seem to believe they can have success doing this, and what are you guys going to have to do to be able to get those things corrected?
Well, I think the two trick plays on defense, you know, they just, when you have an aggressive defense and teams don't warrant getting much on you, then they got to go to trick plays to try to get some big plays, and they got those. This one, I think, is a completely separate issue because it was a special teams play. And we knew that we would get some of those looks anyway. It just so happened that they came up one with a good play to run, and we had just had some injuries on the D-line. I think Derek Barnett came out of the game. And so there was two new guys kind of out on that unit. And so when we, you know, there's a little bit of confusion when all of a sudden you get the break of formation and all those things. So we had a couple guys that really probably weren't prepared to be in those spots because they got replaced last minute through injury. And so they had a good play called up at that time.
Did Malcolm, any thought to calling a timeout on the field, to having someone call a timeout on the field?
No, I think we adjusted it right. They just did a good job. You know, the guy kind of hid, he blocked for a second, and then leaked out. So we aligned perfect, or aligned the way we wanted to. We just didn't execute.
All right. Well, listen, Malcolm, appreciate you coming on, and, you know, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
All right.
There is Malcolm Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he said there.
Well, here's what happens there, right? You get guys out there, like he said, that are filling in for somebody, the starter that was probably typically out there. And, A, you get thrown off by that formation, right? So now you got to make sure you're lined up in the right spot. And it's like, okay, who do I got on this play? Who do I got on this play?
Because on a regular formation, you know where you're supposed to stand
exactly.
And who you're supposed to be over. Now you got to cover somebody.
Yeah, now you got two linemen here mixed with a tight end and just a center here. And then you got three guys over here. So personnel-wise, you're saying, okay, who's eligible and who's not eligible? That's what those formations are designed to do, to cause confusion. Because there's only five guys that can go out. But because of the way they're lined up and everybody's not necessarily in the position where you would expect them to be, you lose track of who's eligible, who's on the line of scrimmage versus who's covered up, who's not. And so what happens is that kicker or the punter, because I can't remember which is which, 7-2. I know the numbers of the guys, but I can't remember who's the kicker or who's the punter. Who caught the ball?
I think the kicker caught.
The kicker caught the ball.
The touchdown.
And the punter was the one who threw it.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what happens. You got the kicker lined up. He's not on the line of scrimmage, or he's off just a little bit. He looks like he's blocking. That D lineman thinks he's a blocker and doesn't realize he can go out.
Okay.
So when you see that.
Because everybody's spread out, you think he's on the line of scrimmage.
You think he's
on
the line of scrimmage blocking, but and because D linemen aren't used to being in this situation. So what the guy really should have done, and I think it was Josh Sweat, once that guy blocks him, you should lock on to him. that's your guy. If he blocks you,
you see a kicker, you should want to kind of get him anyway and toss him.
But that's the thing. No, you don't toss him. That's the whole point. You don't discard him. You stay on him. He's eligible.
Well, that's like saying toss him on the sideline, pick him up
and throw. But my point is he's in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And he's not on the sideline. So if you toss him like to get rid of him as if he's a blocker, you think you just defeated a guy and now you're about to go get a sack. When really the guy is eligible, it's like running a screen play where they make the defensive lineman think they've beaten them to get to the quarterback when really all they want you to do is rush up the field. That's exactly what everybody over there did because everybody is like it's like putting a piece of cheese in front of a rat, right? Like you bit the cheese. You went for it.
Right.
So everybody thinks they're about to get a sack, and they leave the kicker there standing by himself wide open.
I mean,
really all you needed was the one person that he faked like he was blocking, just stay on it.
Well, why not call?
And that play is dead.
If you're Doug first half, why not call a timeout? Like your defense wasn't out there. It's not a trick play against your defense. It's a trick play against special teams. You see all this happening.
Here's why you don't do it. Because it's not unusual to have a team line up in a funky formation just to see how you're going to respond to it. And if you align to it correctly, that team will go back into a regular formation and just kick the field goal. But what they want to see is if you give them the look that they want. So Doug is probably looking at that and saying, okay, we look like we're aligned properly and everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. Like he doesn't know that the D lineman doesn't know he's got that guy because he's lined up over him.
Do we have Doug just play it now, Jack? Doug talking about why he didn't take a timeout. Here's Doug from the noon press conference.
You said after the game that you did not consider calling a timeout on the fake field goal or the trick play.
Correct.
What's the downside to calling a timeout in that spot?
The downside?
Yes.
Probably nothing. You know, the fact that, you know, they could still come out with another formation, another opportunity. You know, they could. That was one of the things that, you know, understanding this coordinator and where he's been and this team and are there unscouted trick plays? That's why they're called trick plays for a reason, because they're unscouted, right? And gadget-type plays. And so are there those plays that every team has? Yes, there are, and they work on them throughout the course of the year. You burn a timeout there, sure. Okay, that might negate that one, but it doesn't, you know, still say they don't line up and try something again in that situation.
That's why I was curious there, because a lot of these plays, you see it out of a normal formation. When you see the formation's different, you made the conscious decision just to keep playing.
I watched the film again this morning, and we had everybody covered up. We broke the formation. We aligned up where we were supposed to align, and we just came off of the guy that caught the touchdown. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the bottom line. I don't know. I've watched a lot of football, and I think it's you see a lot of times where the coach will say, Whoa, what the hell is this? All right, timeout. Just because you want to get him out of that almost. I don't know. I mean, it was the first half. It wasn't the second half. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is they got a touchdown, and that's the only reason that we're talking about it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Jeff in Jersey. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Jeff?
So this is what doesn't make sense here. This guy played, meaning Peterson, he played in the NFL. He played for home. Played for Andy Reid. He coached under good coaches.
He sees
what a good team looks like. How can this guy get up here unless he just doesn't know what to say? Unless he just doesn't know how to answer, can't be honest with the press, can't be honest with the fans, you know, doesn't want to throw anyone under the bus. How can he honestly look at the way this team is performing and not be critical of his coaches and even of himself and of the players? Because it's a compilation of all of them. You know,
I'm sure, Jeff, he doesn't think that's going to be helpful if he does that publicly. Now, whether or not he's doing that behind the scenes and whether or not he's on top of everyone,
would Belichick
coaches,
do this?
Is this what Belichick would say? Publicly, he obviously doesn't feel like that's gonna be beneficial to his players or his coaches.
What do you think he thinks, Ike? You're a player. I mean, what do you think he is thinking, knowing this guy has spent, you know, his adult life in the NFL?
About
do you think
what?
He thinks about the quality, the state of the team?
Well, he knows that he has a football team that can't get out of their own way right now. And they keep making, whether it's mental or physical mistakes each week. This team has done it just about each week. You know, with the exception of a few times, they've found ways to beat themselves. Right? And as a coach who's coaching the guys, he's going to always say, we're a play or two away from getting this thing turned around. His season isn't over with. So how's that beneficial for him to come out and start ripping his coaches and his players to where they may all of a sudden turn on the guy? His job is to get the best out of them, right? And he has to be authentic. He has to be true to himself. And if he's not, they're going to read through that, and they're going to tune him out.
Ken in Hatfield wants to talk about Jim Schwartz. Ken, go ahead. How are you? Ken.
Listen, I was just telling you guys last week, man. I'm telling you, the fat lady is starting to sing, man. She's starting to hum a little bit on this team. And if Doug don't get a hold of it, man, she might be singing. But I just don't understand it. Like, Jim Schwartz, he's the only head coach with the Philadelphia Eagles that – he's actually the defensive coordinator that haven't got a head coaching job. You know, the reason why, he stinks. Let's get him out of here. He stinks. Listen, I got tickets for the Giants game. I don't even think I'm going to go. I'm serious. I don't think I'm going to go because I can't take it. Like, what do you do?
Oh, man.
Like, I don't understand what you're supposed to do with a team like that.
As a former player,
I mean, what do you do as a coach to get these guys back on the right track?
Listen, all you can do is keep preaching the same messages, and you're trying anything and everything you can to get things turned around. Ultimately, this may be just who they are. I mean, maybe they are a 9-7, 8-8 football team. Maybe that's who they are. I mean, listen, fortunately, they're still
they might not even be an 8-8 team.
Well, they may not be. We're going to find out because they don't cancel games. So you're going to play 16 of them. We're going to find out what they are.
Yeah.
We're going to find out what they are. It's going to show itself.
Yep. Yeah, yesterday's loss was what? Was it the coaches or the players? What was it? Was it Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz? Was it the players just aren't good enough? Was it the cornerbacks just aren't good enough? I look at that game yesterday. Yesterday was a stone-cold coaches game. It was. Like, yeah, Dolphins went out and made plays offensively. No doubt about it. They did. You know what else happened? This team wasn't ready. They came out ready, but then once it started to fall apart, done. Right? Yeah. Second half. This is a game. They're 2-9. Dolphins are 2-9. The Eagles need this win. You saw what happened on Thanksgiving Day, right? Thanksgiving night. Yeah. The game was right there. You know, a sense of urgency. Something. The offense had it early, Ike.
Yeah.
They did. But then once something happened, everything fell apart again.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I mentioned Zach Ertz earlier. You got to catch the ball.
It's the biggest play of the game.
You got to catch the ball. I mean, he had a couple of them where, you know, you can either keep a drive going or you're putting a touchdown on the board. And he's had a few key drops this year in big moments where you don't expect that from him. You just don't expect that from him. He's a guy that's made a lot of catches in this league. He's having a Hall of Fame type career. But man, you gotta come up with those plays. You gotta come up with those plays in those moments when you're needed. And he was needed yesterday in big moments. He didn't come up with the catches yesterday. I mean, they could have gotten out of that game with a shootout win.
I believe.
Listen, the defense didn't show up yesterday. They didn't. They relaxed. After they had some early success, they relaxed. And in the second half, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker went to work.
I believe if Ertz catches that ball inside the five, and we don't know if they score a touchdown or not, but Doug's...
They likely would.
Yeah, they likely win that game because then that puts them up 15 instead of the Dolphins then getting good field position because of the missed field goal. And now what do? They go down. They get a touchdown. Don't get the two-point conversion, but still momentum had changed.
Yeah.
You go up 15, and now you got to drive the length of the field. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe it's a different game, but that's the way it felt. Like watching that game in real time, it was like, wow, that was a huge play. You knew it right away. It was a huge play. And then they go down. They march down. Now it's a two-point game instead of a 15-point game.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge right there. No, listen, Zach Ertz, you're right. Ike has come up small in a couple of huge spots this year. Huge, huge spots. Late, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
Well, it's always late.
They're known for that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It's typically late.
Dennis in Pottstown. Dennis, how are you?
Hey, Johnny and Ike, remember me on Wednesday? I told you about, you know, when the Dolphins beat the Patriots, you know, last couple seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
listen,
I'm not saying I told you so, but
yeah, sure you are, but it's okay. Listen, you got
no, I'm not saying I told you so. No, I'm not going there.
Going down there this time of year. I'm always concerned about that.
Okay. Well, Ike, you just made a response. I just heard on you. Now, you're talking about Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
Well, this Jalen Mill guy sucks. They should have left him in Miami. I mean, you know, I get the filled out the Inquirer every day. I mean, they got a picture in there of Devontae, what's his name?
Devontae Parker.
Right. He's jumping. He's 9 feet in the air, and Jalen Mills' feet are on the ground. Now, I don't know. Get rid of the guy. That's what this is all about. It's all about the organization. I heard.
Maybe getting ready to give. You ain't gonna wait to give Jalen Mills an extension.
You might have to wait now if you're Jalen Mills.
Yeah, wait till after the season. Well, no, if you're Jalen Mills, you better take it as soon as you can get it.
Should have locked it up last week. Yeah, the Eagles may not be as interested today. Like, yeah, listen, I guaranteed a win in South Beach. I know I did. Jack, I did. There's been a couple people today. They're keeping score at home. They called in to say, I told you so. You did. You told me. But I still blame the Eagles, not me. Right? Like, the Eagles should have went down and won that game. This shouldn't have been an issue. Game should have been over early. It wasn't. The game was still there in the fourth quarter, the third quarter, had you just not left your helpless defense out there. What is Jim Schwartz doing? What is Doug doing? He just, let's just throw the ball all over the place, right? Like, where you have to stop momentum, and you're going three and out, three and out. Like, if you look at some of those drives, he's running on a first down, throwing on second down, throwing on third down. Mm-hmm. And you're off the field. And then they're right back on the field. You made a Dolphins offense that was almost historically bad look historically good yesterday. Five straight touchdowns.
Yeah.
And not cheapies, right? This wasn't a case of you turn the ball over and they got a couple short fields. They drove down the length of the field and kicked your ass. Yeah. They were on their heels the entire second half.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with the defense yesterday, man. I just don't. I don't know what happened with the defense yesterday. They have been playing well for the last month. And yesterday took me back to the Minnesota game. Took me back to that Cowboys game. You know, that was a game yesterday where you would like to have seen them play better, and you would have gotten out of there with the win. Like, you would have gotten out of there with the win. 31 points is more than enough to win a football game.
Yep. 888-729-9494.
You're going up against one of the worst offenses in the league. And
one of the worst defenses in the league, too.
Yeah, well, that's why you put up 31.
One of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
And you went down there, you punched them in the mouth early. You know what they did? They got up, and they started fighting back, and there wasn't a whole lot of fight after that. I don't know, man. I mean, you know what I saw? I saw a bunch of guys late in that fourth quarter, or in that fourth quarter, that looked tired, that were tired of chasing down the quarterback and just barely not getting to him. And defensive backs that were, they looked like they were seeing ghosts. They did. 888-729-9494. This is not a well-coached team right now. It's not. I mean, regardless of what happens these last couple weeks here, you got to look at the GM to try to fix this. You do, and it's going to start with the players, and it's going to go to the coaches. There's going to be a lot of new people here next year. 888-729-9494. It's Marks and Reese. We'll come back. We haven't even mentioned Carson Wentz today. I guess we should at least mention him on the other side. How did Carson play yesterday?
Well, we don't typically mention him unless he plays bad.
That's true. Yeah. Well, let's mention him next. There's still people that are criticizing him for yesterday. I've seen it. 888-729-9494. It's Marks and Reese.
I'm not surprised by that.
We're live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, FanDuel is officially live in PA in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, there are always more ways to win on FanDuel Sportsbook, money lines, spreads, totals, parlays, props, teasers, and more. Plus, they always offer unique betting promos to spice up game day, like boosted odds, score bonuses, and parlay insurance. Now, with so much to bet on across 17 different sports, FanDuel Sportsbook is sure to have a wager that's right for you. And best of all, you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. Now, if you lose, you'll get a refund of up to $500. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code Ike to bet from anywhere in Pennsylvania. If you lose your first bet within 7 days of signing up, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund of up to $500 in site credit. That's right. Don't forget to use promo code Ike, I-K-E.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.